Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Life Powerfully with your co-hosts Raj Shell and Dr. Perletta Ramos, where our conversations engage and inspire you to stand in your power, express your passion, and live your purpose.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Living Life Powerfully. I hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day. I know that a Mother's Day, we all have a mom. So whether you are a mother yourself, you have a mom. So I hope you celebrated and had a great day yesterday. Today, we are going to talk, however, about something totally different. It is about difficult conversations. Let me ask you a question. How comfortable would you be in asking for a raise or ending a relationship or even starting one? How about giving critical feedback to an employee or your friend? Or how about saying no to somebody in need? Confrontation of hurtful behavior or disagreeing with a majority it's never easy. Sometimes even an apology can be a major apprehension. Or, you know, no matter how you look at it, millions of difficult conversations, they're either ineffectively attempted or avoided. I know that I myself will avoid difficult conversations unless I absolutely, you know, can't avoid it anymore. I don't like them. Now, when we avoid difficult conversations, we trade short-term discomfort for short-term discomfort for long-term dysfunction. So I don't know who said that, but obviously they were very wise, because if we look at some of the relationships we have that may be strained, it is usually because we're avoiding the difficult to talk about things in the relationship. Now, when we feel vulnerable or our self-esteem is at stake, and when the issues are important to us, yet, you know, if the outcome is uncertain and we care not only about the issue, but also the people in the discussion, there is a likelihood for us to see the conversation as difficult. So sometimes one of the most difficult conversations that I see in my office are conversations about intimacy between couples. Yes, it's true. There are couples that will come in and they just, you know, they have not talked about something as simple as intimacy between them. And they may have been married for 30 years. So I'm really glad that we're talking about this. I love what Gwyneth Paltrow said. She said, "You're not learning anything unless you're having the difficult conversations." And I would say that that's very true, because every time we avoid a difficult conversation, what we're doing is we're putting a barrier in the relationship, because if we're not having the difficult conversation, we are obviously keeping it inside, and somewhere it's going to bother us, or we're going to have fear around the person. You know, the truth might come out somehow. We might just explode one day because we didn't have that conversation. So just putting aside our own fears and really looking at the importance of having these, I believe, essential conversations are important. Now, when I have to deliver a difficult message, let's take, for example, the neighbor's dog is barking too much. Okay, the first thing which comes to mind is, you know what, I'm just going to be real positive. or I'll just be real diplomatic when I talk to her, which, I mean, both of those things in and of themselves are helpful, but I don't think that's the answer. Okay, delivering a difficult message is like throwing a hand grenade. So what we try to do is we try to sugarcoat it, and sugarcoating is not going to make a bit of difference. And if you don't throw that grenade, it's going to blow up in your hand. So I always like to think of that metaphor, because it's true. It is like throwing a grenade. Maybe that's why we are afraid to do it, because we're thinking of the damage that's going to be done. Now, let's just break down a difficult conversation, because it's important to look at the anatomy of a conversation like this. And actually, it's three conversations happening at the same time. So what's the first conversation? The first conversation is, it's the what happened conversation. Who said and did what? Okay, who is right, or who is to blame, right? And we come up with some assumptions here. First of all, in the what happened conversation, we come up with a truth, the truth assumption, like, I am right and you are wrong. Difficult conversations are almost never about getting the facts right. They are about conflicting perceptions or interpretations and values. They're not about truth, but about what is important. Now, moving away from the truth assumption frees us to shift our purpose from proving that we are right to understanding the perceptions, interpretations, and values of both sides. It's going to move us toward asking questions instead of just, you know, throwing those grenades or delivering that message. And it's going to help us to offer our views and perceptions. So there's a lot more understanding. We don't come at it from, like, I have the truth. The second thing is intention. Okay, did you yell to hurt me, or are you just trying to emphasize a point? Okay, we assume that we know the intentions of others. This is another big assumption that we make. And when we are not quite sure about what someone's intentions might be, we often think that they are bad and wrong. Again, here, we're making the assumption that we are right and they are wrong. Intentions are invisible, right? So we make them up from somebody's maybe past behavior, maybe the way that we think we know them. And, you know, we have to accept the fact that most of the time we are inaccurate in our inventing this possibility that their intention is misguided. Intentions are actually quite complex, so we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Now, the third thing in the what's happened conversation is blame. So we've got truth assumption, we've got intention, and finally blame. So talking about somebody's fault is like talking about truth. It's going to produce denial. It's going to produce defensiveness. It's going to produce disagreement. And there's probably not going to be much learning going on. It's going to evoke that fear of punishment. So there is a natural tendency to become defensive. It distracts from exploration of why things went wrong and how we might correct them going forward. So there is a significant difference between blame and contribution, and it makes a huge difference as we move forward. So another wise person once said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And I would have to agree. Most of us, we're just waiting to get our 2 cents worth in. We just want, we just quickly get an answer to whatever is being spoken by another person. We just want to answer them back. How often do you find yourself just sitting with it and just listening? Okay. And that is key to having difficult conversations. It's not about us having all the answers. Now, the second, remember I said there are 3 conversations going on at the same time. Well, the first one is the what happened conversation. The second one is the feelings conversation. Okay, are my feelings valid, appropriate? Okay, what about the other person's feelings? Is it possible that they are also angry and hurt? That we aren't the only ones? You know, how do we handle those really strong feelings? You know, whether they're coming inside of us or they're coming from the other side, what do we do? And maybe that's why we try to avoid these kinds of conversations. Difficult conversations at their core are about strong feelings. So we just, you know, we can't avoid them. Understanding feelings, talking about feelings, and, you know, managing feelings are some of the greatest challenges of being human. And, you know, let's face it, we may not be skilled over some of these really intense feelings. So it's worth it to either, you know, get some extra coaching around that, but you've got to get comfortable in talking about feelings. Now, the third conversation in a difficult conversation is the identity conversation. This is our own conversation with ourselves about what this situation means to us. Are we competent or incompetent? Are we lovable or do you consider yourself unlovable? Are you a good person or a bad person? How is this going to impact our self-image or self-worth and basically our well-being in the future? Our main answers are going to impact our being in the conversation. Like, are we really going to be angry? Are we going to be anxious? This conversation may be the most challenging, but it's going to offer us a way to manage our own anxiety and improve our skills in the other 2 conversations, okay? The feelings conversation and the what happened conversation. This conversation is going to look inward, and it's all about who we are and how we see ourselves. We can shift the source of anxiety into a source of strength. Now, what I want to really talk about is it's important to maybe think of a conversation that is difficult for you. Maybe it's a conversation with a loved one, with your partner. Maybe it's a conversation with your coworker, with your boss. Maybe you haven't asked for a raise in a long, 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 long time, and the boss hasn't asked you for a raise, and you've been working your tail end off. So think of a conversation that you would like to have. And as we go through the steps of having this conversation, you know, try to figure out what you would say. Now, I'm gonna walk you through these three conversations, okay? And as we're doing it again, you know, think about your own scenario that you want to overcome and really have this difficult conversation. And I'm hoping that you will do that as soon as possible. It's important to practice. These kinds of things take practice. It doesn't just happen overnight. So first thing we're going to do is we're going to sort out what happened, okay? Really think about, where does your story come from? Okay, does it come from your past? Does it come from their past? And not only really looking at the story for yourself, but also where could their story come from? You know, what's going on for them? If it's your boss, for example, I mean, think of all the things that your boss has to handle, okay? They have to be able to look at the bigger picture and maybe, you know I've worked in corporate America for many, many years, and I do know that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So maybe your boss has maybe not paid attention to you because you've just been doing the work and he can count on you, he or she can count on you, and they're fine. You know, they just really, or maybe they've even forgotten that you haven't gotten a raise. So where could their story be coming from? I think that's really key. And then what impact has this situation, whatever it is, you not getting a raise for 3 years, what impact has it had on you? How have you felt every time you've been driving into work and you've sat down and you're working so hard while your coworkers are just, you know, not working as hard? What maybe there's been resentment that's built up in you. What might their intentions have been? So what might your boss, what might their intentions be? You know, are they really waking up every day going, you know, I'm really going to screw you, Ann. You know, I'm just really going to make sure that you don't get a raise for the next 10 years. What are their intentions? And what have you each contributed to the problems? So you've got these points, you know, you've thought through them, you've thought through the other side. So difficult conversations, let me just point out here, are really more about the thinking that goes on more than the doing, than the actual, you know, talking to the other person. Because when we don't have our foundation set before we enter into a challenging conversation, we are going to probably have a misperception somewhere. The second thing is we want to understand the emotions, because remember the feelings conversation? So just go through all of your emotions, okay? It's like one big emotion soup. So explore your bundle of emotions. Explore what you experience. Don't let something, you know, catch you by surprise, like you get into the conversation and then you just explode because you weren't even aware of your anger around it. You weren't aware of your resentment around it. And the third thing is ground your identity. Okay, really think about, okay, what's at stake here for me? And this is usually a conversation about you. So what's really going on for you? And the second thing, you know, what do you need to accept about yourself? Because you cannot afford, when you're in this conversation, you cannot afford to go off on something that is your issue that you are responsible for. So if you have insecurities and if you have fears, You need to be aware of those right now before you get into the conversation so that you can remain grounded and know, oh, yeah, this stuff is about me. This has nothing to do with this other person or this conversation that I'm about to have. This is just my own stuff that I've never dealt with. So the identity conversation is about you. It's a conversation that you have about you. And we need to be fully responsible. You know what I love about having these challenging conversations is that
what
we
do you
learn
love about
more.
It, Raj?
Well, good morning, Perletta.
Good morning, Raj.
What I love about these challenging conversations is that I learn more about myself because I have to do all this homework around my emotions and my feelings and my identity. Now, Perletta, what do you think about difficult conversations? Is it hard for you? Is it easy for you?
That's an interesting question, Raj. I think it probably depends on the conversation as a whole. I
mm-hmm.
was raised by a father who talked constantly, my dad, and we talked about a lot of different things at our dinner table. And
mm-hmm.
so that gave me a foundation around communicating and being able to communicate my thoughts. I would think maybe a little easier than others because we talked about sex. We talked about social issues. We expressed our thoughts until actually we disagreed with our father, and then, you know, he didn't like what we had to say. However,
yeah.
The basis of the conversation provided me with a comfort level. And so overall, I feel comfortable communicating my thoughts,
mm-hmm.
even if they may differ from others. The challenge for me personally comes when I don't want to hurt someone's feelings
mm-hmm.
or when I feel like I'm responsible for someone and whatever it is I'm going to say is not going to land well. Then when it becomes that type of difficult, there's some pause. Over the years, I've worked actually at really honoring myself at the end of the day and saying what I need to say in those difficult or fierce conversations. There's a book called Fierce Conversations that I really love that gets to the point of the having true intimacy and being vulnerable and really communicating from my heart. There's a way to do that that doesn't have to cause pain or suffering over there, because that used to be my fear. And so these things that you're talking about, I think, really help one to get centered, because if you're communicating from anger, communicating from sadness or neediness, or, you know, how what you're going to say is going to land very differently than if you're communicating from a place of balance within yourself, being aware of how you feel and what's going on, but not, you know, from the place of anger or from the place of, you know, whatever the driving emotion could be. And that takes some, for most of us, that takes some effort and experience, and you just got to walk through it. And
mm-hmm.
you just got to walk
yeah.
through it.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. You know, one of the things that, like, you know, we talked about earlier is that actually difficult conversations are really three conversations. And another really important step is really check in with yourself and check your purpose for having this conversation, because you don't want to go around and just, you know, speak your mind at every single thing, and you have to decide whether to raise the issue and what is your purpose for raising the issue. What do you hope to accomplish by having the conversation? Or is this the best way to address it? If you don't raise it, what can you do to help yourself let go? I mean, that may be another option. You know, maybe you don't have to go around and talk about everything that comes into your mind. Sometimes it's just better just to let go, and that's very appropriate. It's just that when we continue to let go and let go and let go, that's not healthy for our relationships. You know, and also begin with the end in mind. How do you want them to feel at the end of the conversation? What do you want the other person to feel? For example, do you want them to trust you at the end of the conversation? Do you want them to know that you do have the well-being, their well-being in mind as well? Just really, get that clarified. Now, the third step is explore their story and explore yours. Listen to understand their perspective on what happened and ask questions. Ask lots of questions. Acknowledge the feelings behind the arguments and accusations. Share your viewpoint, your experiences, your intentions, your feelings, okay? And then begin to reframe. Reframe it to keep on track with your purpose. So from truth to perceptions, from blame to contributions, from accusations to feelings. So it's about, taking the whole situation, their story, your own story, kind of merging them, reframing it in a way that's not blaming anybody, and that showing how we're contributing and participating. And I mean, it's a beautiful conversation. I wish we had more time to talk about it. And then, the first step that we like to get to is we want to solve the problem. So we usually go to problem solving first, which does not land well. Like Perletta, you were saying how it lands. Well, the problem solving is the very last step. Because if things are not ready, if the foundation is not built, if you have not gotten proper understanding, solving a problem on shaky ground does not work. So when you do problem solving as the last...
What you're saying, Raj, is that these processes requires you to not act on impulse. Sometimes when we have difficult conversations, we can just blurt it out, particularly if we're being emotional in the midst of it. And what you're really outlining is how to center ourselves and be balanced when we're having a conversation. And that takes some effort for most of us, I think.
Yeah, a lot of awareness, right? Effort and awareness.
Absolutely.
And, we've had a lot of conversations around communication. And, I thought, it'd be a good idea to really narrow it down to just the really difficult conversations that we have in our day-to-day lives. Now, the problem solving is invent options that meet each side's most important concerns and interests. And keep in mind the standard to mutual caretaking. Because relationships are not one-way streets. Relationships that just go one way, they're not going to last long. It's a two-way street. And talk about how to keep the communication open as you go forward with this relationship. So really, open up the possibilities between you and your loved one or you and your boss, you and your friend. Now, I hope that you are ready to go out and start the real conversations that truly matter. Go out there and just do it. Practice these steps. And the other really good book that you can get is Difficult Conversations by Douglas Stone, Bruce Patton, and Sheila Heen. And they talk in this book a lot about the Harvard Negotiation Project. And this book is really awesome. So go out there, get this book, and get started. We want to thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. We welcome your feedback at Pearl Raj Radio, PearlRajRadio @gmail.com. And be sure to like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Until next week, stay true to yourself and stay empowered.
Have a great week.